right, here we are back at it for another episode of the Brew Chat Podcast, and I'm going to kind of do this kind of weird. I think I'm going to do this episode 215, but this is like 215A, and then I'll do like 215B and C, because we're a couple episodes late, but I actually think it's good for this show. But yeah, here with Ian Sharp, we're going to be doing kind of a short Watchmen breakdown with, you know, if you've been tuning into the Watchmen HBO series that just debuted. And so, yeah, this is 215A, and this is kind of covering episodes 1 through 3. And how many episodes is this season going to have?
I think there's 9.
9? Okay. That's a weird season number, but...
Right. It feels weird to me because the original comic had 12 issues. And okay. It makes sense because there's so much focus on clocks.
Yeah.
That you think 12 would be the magic number, but yeah. they're going with 9. Most HBO series have 10 episode seasons,
yeah.
So that's also weird. But, you know, I mean, I guess they have a vision.
I didn't actually know the original comic came out in issues. I thought it just debuted as a novel, and that was...
Oh, it sure did. And yeah. Actually, Infinity Flux in town, you can buy. They have a bundle of all the original split-up issues. It's a little expensive. I don't remember how much it was, but if you're interested in something like that, I own a copy of the graphic novel, but that would be a cool thing to have.
Yeah, that would be. Which, sidebar, just about comics, has nothing to do with Watchmen, but there's this new store over where Kmart used to be in Hickson.
Really?
Called Ollie's. It's called like Ollie's Bargain Shack or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
They sell packs of, I think, 10 comics for like $5, and they looked in good shape, and it could be anything. Like, I saw some old Thor in there, some old Spider-Man. Like, no telling what you get. It's just a grab bag for $5.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and they had a shit ton of them. I got a big, thick Daredevil, like the complete run. I can't remember which run it was, but it was like $3.99 for a $30 book.
That's cool. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, so just sidebar, I thought it was neat. But yeah, so Watchmen, I don't know, this is a dense show. It's not, I mean, the initial graphic novel is pretty dense. And I guess for those, I mean, if you're watching the show, you've realized, and you're probably a fan by this point, but it's a sequel to the graphic novel and not the movie that came out a couple years ago. But it's I don't know, what are your thoughts, just like run out of the gate with it?
I think so far I like it. It does give me that same kind of you know, there's a lot more to it kind of vibe going on that the comic gave. Like, you know, I reread the comic every couple of years, and I always find new stuff that I missed. And like, that's kind of the same thing I'm getting off the show. So far, I've watched, other than the new one we just watched, I watched the first episode twice and the second episode twice and picked up more. I'm also super addicted to, like, all the YouTube commentary and stuff where other people are able to kind of comb through and look for things that I didn't quite pick out of it. And it's proving to be a very, very interesting show, at least. I don't know. The new one was a bit of a head scratcher, but, you know, again, like I'm definitely going to give it at least one more watch, maybe even two. You know, we'll see. So far it's shaping up to be something worth checking out though.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying it too. And this episode, each episode, which we talked about this a little before this episode started, is episodes 1 and 2 both started with historical events that actually happened in real life, which I think is cool because this is a show based on, or this is a story based on an alternate reality of the United States, kind of. And it starts out on the first episode was the Tulsa Massacre.
Yes.
Yeah, the race riots and the massacre. And then the second one was about World War One. The Nazis would send out propaganda basically being like, hey, you're black and fighting for the U.S. Why are you doing this? They treat you like shit.
Right.
You know, and both those are real things that happen. And this show started out with that. But this episode 3, was the first one that did not start out that way, which I thought was interesting. But it showed us our first introduction, I guess, to our other character. That's a returning character, was Laurie Blake.
Right.
Who's now fully accepted that her dad was the comedian and has
right.
clearly changed her name to that.
I think she's the first person. I mean, so barring Veidt, you know, Veidt so far has been in it. At least we think that's Veidt. That's what they're really, really pointing to, especially after this episode. She's the first like part of the main story that's connected to everything that does directly tie back. You know, there's a lot of theories about some of the other characters so far, but you know, we know Lori and we know who that you know, she was, I can't say her last name in the comic. It's Jaspezic, I think, something like that.
Yeah. Some, yeah.
And that was her name, but she was, you know, she was Sally Jupiter too. Was it Sally Jupiter? Was that her? Her superhero name?
Silk Spectre.
Silk Spectre 2. That's right. Sally Jupiter was Silk Spectre 1. That's right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm caught up.
And I don't even quite know how that worked. I don't know if it was like, maybe that was her pinup name.
Yeah. Well, so that she was kind of, you know, obviously fond of all that. Like, yeah. And so I think, well, her last name was probably Jaspezic 2, Sally Jaspezic, but Jupiter was just easier to say. So she went with that. Yeah, I think she's the first one that is now like part of the main story who has a tie back to the old story. So that's and this episode really seemed to be focused on because the other ones have been, you know, little hints, like they've been dancing around the fact that this is part of that same universe. This one was really like, nope, we're in it. She's
For sure.
The whole time she's got that sort of monologue where she's making the call to Dr. Manhattan, because apparently there's a service where you can do that. Which is interesting, but I guess, you know, I mean, if you've got a godlike figure, why not give him a prayer line, even if it does go nowhere? This one, even though like it didn't really give us more of plot stuff, it gave us a little, but it mostly just brought her fully into the story.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, the two other episodes, the first two, it just seemed like side stories that were happening in this universe, but this one actually ties us to it. It gave us a little bit of history on, you know, Night Owl was mentioned roughly as that senator guy was like, you know, I could help get your owl out of that cage, blah, blah, blah. So insinuating that Night Owl 2 was still locked up after he got caught in the 90s.
Right. Yeah, I definitely thought that. But it makes me wonder, like, kind of based on some of her actions later in the episode, if she really even cares, you know, if she even misses him. Seems like she misses Dr. Manhattan. That's the vibe I got, you know, based on the phone call and then the Dr. Manhattan dildo, which...
Yeah. They're giving us that blue dick.
Because it's like, okay, so we saw his tiny blue dick all through. Like, if you've seen the movie, they showed it, and they showed, like, the one guy. But in the comic, he's got, like, a little just blue little donger there.
Yeah.
But he can change his shape and his size. Why not?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he have done that, too? You know, so it makes some degree of sense. So good for her. You know, I'm glad she's getting hers, you know.
Well, and this was an interesting episode, too, because it introduced her, who, you know, Lori Blake, her father was the comedian. And the entire episode is sort of hinged around her on this Dr. Manhattan phone service telling him jokes. And she even says towards the end, like, it's almost an exact quote from the comic that Rorschach says when he's giving the Pagliacci bitch. And he's like,
right.
Oh, I am Pagliacci. Drum roll snare. Crowd laughs. You know, that sort of thing.
Good joke, yeah.
And I don't know. It seems to me, because her character, I mean, you could say this... attribute this to Malin Ackerman, who played her character in the movie, but and I don't remember enough about the comics necessarily. I should have probably reread it before doing this, but she was a pretty hopeful character in the original story, I feel like. One of the more hopeful ones,
to a degree. I think definitely in the movie. The comics, she seems really kind of at wit's end in the comics. If you want a good refresher and you don't want to have to read it, which, I mean, you know, it's always cool to read it again. Like I said, I do it every couple of years. The entire Motion comic is on YouTube. I think episode 10, you have to kind of watch in a weird grainy quality because of the way it works out. But most of them are on and they're fine. I'm not sure it's the most legal thing, but they're there.
Yeah.
But that's what I did to refresh is I watched that like right before we you know, made plans to do this. So it's all kind of fresh in my head, but I don't know if Lori is hopeful as much as she's just, you know, she's just kind of, you know, obviously like when it picks up with her, she's fed up with Dr. Manhattan losing his humanity. And then she goes to Night Owl and, they sort of have their tryst and he's obviously insecure and can't do it. And then, but she is the one who's like, hey, let's go put our suits on and let's go, you know, prowl the night. So I think she's, I guess it's hopeful. It's more just like I've been in this crazy relationship.
Well, and most, I just say hopeful compared to the other characters. The all the other characters in the original seem kind of beaten down at the end. And
yeah, that's,
you know, they're just kind of at the wit's end. But she's the one that's still willing to, like, you know, put on the suit. Or, you know, they go to dinner, her and Night Owl, and she's like, yeah, why did we do that? You know, they're reminiscing and whatnot. But in the show, at least from this episode, which was our first intro to her, she seems to have almost adopted it's like a weird hybrid personality of the comedian and Dr. Manhattan, where it's all a fucking joke, but it doesn't fucking matter anyway, because a dead body and an alive body take up the same amount of matter.
Right. You know? Yeah, I definitely got comedian vibes off of her, especially because now that she's like the ex superhero government agent, you know, that was him in the comics. And now his daughter is taking up that mantle, which is interesting too, because she has a history of doing that. She was Silk Spectre too, following in her mother's footsteps. And
yeah,
now she's,
yeah, I didn't even think of that, but yeah,
that, yeah, it just occurred to me just now. It's like, so it's kind of like echoing sort of the comic in a way. And I think that's kind of what they're going for, is they're trying to like, I think it's going to be almost the same story, just like, or kind of the way, like, it's the same band, a different song, I guess, is a way to put it. But
I've been kind of feeling that about the show too, is that it's going to be a very similar story where there's going to be some big evil for the greater good at the end. And I mean, just on the first episode, it hinges on sort of an elder character that everyone seemingly had a relationship with of some sort, but he was sort of a gray character. You don't know much about him. I mean, it's revealed in season two, he had a KKK outfit in his closet.
Right.
Similar to the comedian having his shit in his closet, which was alluded to in this episode.
Yeah.
And then he gets killed off in the first, or murdered in the first episode. And then it's kind of a investigation into that. So it parallels the original quite a bit.
Yeah. He's got like kind of the comedian role in that, in the sense that he's the murderer that everybody's got to figure out what happened to. And you know, you've got this one guy who's claiming responsibility and maybe he did it, you know, but there's fan theories Andrew's father. There's fan theories that he's the Vite of this one, that he's the one with the great master plan. We'll see. I guess, I don't know. That just seems kind of a speculative guess at this point, based on the fact that they just haven't really told us anything. But that's a little bit frustrating. But I'm going to stick with it. But we're three episodes in.
It makes sense. And you said before it could be a red herring. Is it almost makes a little too much sense? But he's 105. That makes him the proper age for the, which, I mean, he's clearly that little boy.
Right. No, absolutely. He's definitely
the massacre in the first episode.
Correct. But there's a big theory going around that he's Hooded Justice.
Yeah.
And that's backed up by a few things. One, the movie that the kid was watching was a movie about Bass Reeves, and he ran around wearing a hood, and he was obviously idolizing this guy. And then, you know, his jacket was kind of the same kind of purpley red color, and his hood was poking out of the back of that jacket. So a lot of people have taken that to think that that he's Hooded Justice or was Hooded Justice, because, you know, no one ever saw his face. The comic hinted that maybe he was this bodybuilder, but then it seems like in the last episode of American Hero Story, they immediately said, we know it wasn't him now. And then they kind of said, like, you don't know who I am, but you will by the last episode. So I guess we'll find out.
And maybe that's some meta shit of, hey, you'll know by episode 9, by the time we roll that shit out.
Right. Yeah. I think that's how it'll go, because I think the American Hero story is like this version's of what the Tales from the Black Freighter was.
Yeah.
In the comic, where that was like the comic within a comic. That's the show within the show.
Which, speaking of Black Freighter, that was the name of the motel that Lori was at.
Oh, wow.
Black Freighter.
I missed that. Yeah. I missed a bunch in this one. I've had a big, long weekend.
Yeah. This has been a hefty weekend. Yeah.
Coming off of Halloween. But like I said, I'll definitely rewatch it. I'm going to pick it apart. But, I got a good bit off of it. Like, there's just little, you know, the general vibe or the timeline of things, but I don't think I was present enough to pick up any real like Easter eggs. What
you mentioned right before we started recording, we were talking about Ozymandias and whatever weird shit he's doing, which seemingly this episode it showed he was building like a trebuchet or catapult and built a spacesuit out of some knight armor.
Right, right.
And then that didn't work, and he was like, I need tougher skin, whatever that means, and then he goes kills a buffalo, and then there's the game warden. I don't know what the fuck anything he is doing is, but you said it plays into a theory you've got with maybe the game warden or something, or a theory you read.
Yeah.
What are some theories?
So I think he's not, I mean, obviously, like, well, we've seen that he's been declared dead. They showed that in a newspaper, and then they even referenced it in this episode. And I think it's, I think he's in hiding, and I think that maybe he's not in control of his situation. Mm-hmm. It was referenced in this, and we know we're going to see her in the next one, but there's a character called Lady True who, bought, all of his stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the thing about it is, it's obviously not common, I think we've picked up enough that it's not common belief that Veidt did the giant squid at the end of the comic. But I think that, you know, we do know that Rorschach's journal got out, which told all that. So I think that did create sort of a conspiracy theory thing. And I think that he did have some repercussions from that, even if they didn't prove that he did it. Yeah. I think it affected things. He became a toxic asset, probably. Yeah. They probably had to get him out. Now he's probably off in hiding somewhere. That's my best guess.
See, that's what I would venture to guess on that as well, and kind of the vibe I got. But, I don't know. Everything we've seen from him has just been weird as shit. Yeah. 100%.
He did put on the suit this episode, which was...
And it was like classic goofball suit.
I like that. That was one of my big problems with the movie, was they did so much in the movie to make it look like the comic, except all the suits were like the rubber new style suits, and it's like... They would be campy. They would be weird. We're talking about the 80s. Like, no one, you know, there weren't any. I mean, I guess Batman had the rubber suit in like 89, but like, I don't know. I wanted it to feel more like the comic, and it didn't to me. But beside that point, he had the classic, you know, comic accurate suit on, which was, I thought was pretty awesome. Yeah. But there's also a theory that maybe he's not Veidt. Maybe this is some other guy who's obsessed with all this stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think is that too much of a you know, a psych out, though? I mean, that's where you start like worrying about it. Are you overthinking things? Mm-hmm. I think that's an easy thing to do at this show.
Now, I do think it is him, but there's something up, and I mean, clearly he's just doing too much weird shit. He's got clones or robots or whatever running around that are servants that fuck shit up. Like one's like, I brought you a knife, sir, and hands him a horseshoe. So they're clear, but that could be, that's what made me think that maybe they were robots, is that they've got some programming to not harm a human. So it's like they're incapable of picking up a knife. So the next thing they do is pick up a horseshoe.
Well,
but I don't know.
I'm kind of leaning more on the clones thing. And the reason why is because, through the whole comic, Veidt is described as the smartest man on Earth.
Yeah.
Then along comes Dr. Manhattan, who is obviously smarter, like, because he has this constant sort of awareness. And I think maybe after all that stuff went down, maybe Veidt has become obsessed with Dr. Manhattan. I mean, he's obviously doing the play, mm-hmm. But Dr. Manhattan, we knew one of his abilities was he could make more of himself. So maybe that's what these clones are, is his sort of copy. But he's not good at it yet. So the clones are all kind of defective.
He's trying to do what the things Dr. Manhattan can do. He's just taking a technological approach to handling it, as opposed to just being able to molecularly reassign yourself
as best he can. And I mean, in the preview for the next episode, I think it showed like he had built some kind of weird chamber. So it makes me wonder if he's trying to recreate the experiment, but with very limited resources. Because
why was that clone frozen this time? You know, he's doing weird shit. And I agree with you. It's like maybe he's trying to make himself into a Dr. Manhattan.
I mean, if your whole you know, tout, the thing that you think of yourself as comparable to Alexander the Great, as someone who's a great conqueror and a great, person who changes the world. Well, obviously he failed. I mean, he kept the U.S. from going to war with Russia, but like the world is clearly still at turmoil, you know, in this point.
When they mentioned Russians again in this, so clearly Russia is still some problem.
Right. So I think that it's just, he doesn't see himself as good enough yet. And he knows that if he could be a Dr. Manhattan, then maybe he could. That's a theory, but it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got me sort of thinking like kind of a Mysterio in Iron Man's absence situation. Is he's not there, but he's down to like finagle his way into it.
Right. But I think like he's got limited resources. Yeah. Like if he had his old, like, you know, all of his old resources and he owned his company, he probably would have already pulled it off. But because he's like, you know, secluded off in some castle with all this, you know, seemingly really old tech.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing his best. I think it's maybe what's going on there, but maybe he's just crazy. You know,
who knows? So who was the lady that bought his shit?
Her name is Lady True. That's all I know.
Lady True. So that's clearly who that little Asian girl was buying newspapers
yes,
for.
Yes. Yeah. The
clearly.
One in all white. Yes.
Yeah.
She is, I don't know anything about her yet. Other than she is very rich and seemingly, a big part of all the things that are going on especially from what the next episode showed.
And the next episode, it seems like Dr. Manhattan may show up.
It may, or he may, I guess. I don't know. The next one, the vibe I got off the trailer more than anything I've gotten so far is that we're actually going to get some like plot answers and move things forward.
I hope so. Cause I mean, it's been a lot of setup thus far. I've really enjoyed it. But it's just like, but again, it's Damon Lindelof and it's Lost. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Right. More so than the original comic, for sure. The original comic, there was always that underlying mystery of who killed the comedian and why. But there wasn't a bunch of mysteries. You know, it was more the story of all these people as a result of this mystery. Mm-hmm. And this one is like, you know, what?
No, it's like, it's very much like Lost of just like, okay, I like what I just watched, but what the fuck was it? Like, what's the context here? And I mean, I don't know this. Yeah. Episode 2 left a bunch of questions and this one did not touch on any of them.
Right. It was a totally different thing. I mean, we do know kind of more about the senator, Keene.
Yeah.
Because we know that, like, he's running for president against Robert Redford. Mm-hmm. And he's really for masking police officers. It's just, what we're seeing in Tulsa isn't... that's one thing I was curious of. Is that everywhere or was that just in Tulsa? They kind of explained it's a pilot program there.
Yeah.
But it has affected crime. So he's going to use that as his platform to run for president. And... you know, basically that's why Lori's brought into it is because she has to solve the mystery so that he looks good.
Well, in this episode, it did provide some answers in some broader stroke ways. Is one thing I've been wondering this whole time is the initial story is set in New York. like a lot of stories that are told here. It's one of the biggest cities we have in the world. And this one's in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So this whole time I've kind of been like, why the fuck is this in Tulsa? Like, but it explains it. You know, there was that white night that where a bunch of police officers were targeted, which led to the masked police officer situation. And so, yeah, this town has kind of been a pilot program, you know, like you said, for masking police officers.
Right. And that's now it's a hotbed for ultimately this presidential election, which is so there is some sort of master plan there, I guess. But, you know, I mean, I feel like there's a lot more going on. So we'll.
Oh, there clearly is a shit ton more going on. What was I going to ask? Fuck. Oh, yeah. I asked you this before the show. So I don't remember 100% in the comics. Was the squid, was that an illusion or was that a hybrid clone animal that Ozymandias made and just transported in through Dr. Manhattan technology, or was it actually an alien?
No, it was the second one that you said. It was that they in the comic they give a lot of little clues about it, and you kind of figure it out towards the end. I mean, they basically flat out tell you by the end of it. That's what kind of what that's what breaks the comedian in the first place. Ozymandias has been like selecting all these artists and to design and draw this thing, and then these scientists and to clone it, and psychics they can get their DNA from to put into. So the idea is that when it was teleported in, the psychic blast of that thing is actually what killed all those people. So the teleportation killed it, so it wasn't alive. It didn't come in and start destroying buildings, but just it showing up, and it created this existential threat that you know that everyone that was kind of what his plan was. It was let's make a threat that's bigger than us, a threat that we don't understand.
Yeah, I got that. I just never knew where the squid came from. If it was something he created, or he did discover transdimensional portals and just discovered this squid alien life and transported one there, or
no, he had it designed, he had it made. Okay. They had an island, and that's the island is what the comedian found, and then that's when he stumbled onto what was going on, and that's what made him snap. That's why I don't like the movie, is because in the movie all it was I found out about this plan to frame Dr. Manhattan. It's like that wouldn't break the comedian.
Yeah.
But a psychic squid monster that they're building.
What I recently rewatched the movie, and it's not really even clear why the comedian snaps.
Right.
The movie, it's just, it's kind of left for you to believe in the movie that, oh, he's the comedian, he's done some bad shit, and he's getting old, and he knows he's getting old, and now he's sad because he's lonely and getting close to that deathbed, and he's just been an asshole his whole life, so he's going to go cry to Moloch. But, they don't touch on anything. Even in that conversation with him and Moloch, there's not even a, like, I had no idea they were capable of something like this. Or not even some throwaway line like that.
Right.
It just is purely played like he's just been an asshole and he kind of regrets it.
Yeah, and to me that sullies it, because, you know, it's the whole point of the whole thing. The catalyst for the whole story is his murder. Why did he get murdered? Because he led on to employee of Vite that he knew what was going on. If he had just kept his mouth shut, no one would ever know anything.
Yeah.
But what broke him to the point of doing that, and it was this crazy scheme that was going on, that he, you know, he just couldn't take it anymore. The crazy scheme in the movie is so light compared to the things that he does on a regular basis. It's like, oh, you know, millions of strangers all over the world are going to die. Yeah. He's a comedian. His whole point is it's all a big joke anyway. Yeah. So why wouldn't that just be the biggest punchline in the world? But if they're building monsters, you know, that could make somebody snap, I feel like, more so at least. So
seeing something that you know doesn't really exist, I guess, like, would make you kind of snap.
Well, it looked kind of like, I mean, the squid, you know, is symbolic of, you know, when you get into Lovecraftian stuff.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's kind of the whole Lovecraftian monster gimmick, is that just by looking upon it, the impossibility of it is enough to make you go crazy. Mm. And so I think that kind of ties into that. It might be a nod to that. Alan Moore is very super. He's written some Lovecraftian stuff. If you ever get the chance, read it's called Neonomicon. Comic he wrote, and it's just straight up love letter to Lovecraft, and it's pretty awesome. But that's kind of the vibe I got off of the comic. Whereas again, the reason they changed it in the movie is like no one would believe a giant squid. It's like that's why that works. That's why the story works. It's because no one would believe it. The comedian couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
you know, when you make it more believable, then you go, well, okay, but the comedian's already a psychopath. Like, why? You know, it just seems like it's, I don't know, just bad writing to me.
Kudos to them in the movie, though, is like, I mean, the movie is 2/3 pretty much the book, at least visually.
Visually, like,
it is a great companion piece to the book, but the ending is different. Clearly, instead of a giant psychic squid, they set it up where it frames Dr. Manhattan.
Right.
And, but kudos to the writers on that. Is like just being handed from corporate, like, hey, we want you to make this movie, do it just like it is, but we don't want a fucking giant squid in the end.
Right.
And
right.
Trying to figure out a way to keep the same motif roughly and, work that in. Kudos to them on that. I always thought that.
Yeah. I mean, it's long been considered an unfilmable comic.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it was made, like Alan Moore wrote it. He said, this is a story that can only be told through comic book. And he's not wrong, because again, the movie didn't quite do that. And they changed the ending, but they also changed the tone a lot because, I mean, like visually, like you said, yes, it is. I mean, they use the comic, panels as the storyboard.
Yeah.
So that's when they were planning their shots, they were using the comic. So that huge, huge props for that. One of my gripes again with the movie, I told you before the show, is the suits. There weren't, or maybe I mentioned this earlier in the show. I don't know.
Yeah, we may have been right before, but either way, yeah.
Yeah, the suits are very like, you know, new. Everything else is very like attention to detail. We're gonna make it look very old and very like just like it does in the comic, but like still have that 80s vibe. Except all the suits look like, you know, they could be in the Avengers today. And it also, like, the action scenes were very, like, Zack Snyder action-y.
Yeah.
Whereas in the comic, they were very, like, subdued, because the point was that superheroes aren't all that they're cracked up to be. It's none of them really have powers. They're all just crazy people in suits playing pretend, except Dr. Manhattan. And then this one, they're, like, punching people, like, into walls and, like, breaking through walls with, you know... Veidt was like, you know, had crazy good, he was in crazy good shape and was super at the top of his, you know, I don't know, his physical peak. He was still a human being, you know,
he was Chris Traeger.
Right. Yeah. He didn't have super strength. So he couldn't punch through concrete, you know,
yeah.
But in the movie they hyped everybody's like abilities up and made him like way more, like everybody's a trained martial artist who can punch through concrete. And I was like, yeah, it's not really the point that the comic was trying to.
Well, and that's something the movie, when, because I watched the movie before I had read the comic, is I had never even heard of this thing until the movie comes out. And I was like, what is this? And I had a friend that was super into it and loaned me his comic. So I was like in the middle of reading the comic when I went and saw the movie. And it was kind of the thing where I was like, not really into the comic for a second. It was moving kind of slow. And I was like, well, I'm going to go see the movie, and that'll get me interested in it. And I'll have, like, good or bad, I'll be able to be like, ah, okay, so that's what they were going for. Got it. I know where we're aiming here. And in the movie, they do a really bad job. I mean, just the same way they did with the comedian and him going a little nuts was, like what you're talking about here is hyping up the fight scenes, is I was convinced – some of them, besides Manhattan, had superpowers based on the movie. Like, I thought Ozymandias had superpowers. I actually thought his superpower is he had some, like, little extra durability and peak conditioning, kind of Captain America-esque,
right.
Dialed down a little bit maybe. But for some reason, I thought he was super old. Is that was his thing? Is that he just like didn't age or something? And yeah. That's why he was so fucking smart.
Right. Well, they sure did cast a real young guy to play him in the movie too. Like, in the comic, he's definitely a lot older. Like, he's the same age as everybody. Like, you know, Night Owl is like out of shape. They make a point of that. Like in the movie, he's like still pretty in good shape. You know, it's like my vibe from the comic was everybody was like late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah.
And then like maybe older than that. And then in the movie, everybody felt like real like late 20s, early 30s. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't believe that you're all retired at that age. Like, I think you'd probably still be superheroing, you know?
Yeah. No, and it's, the movie had a couple things that didn't quite come across as what it should have been, and I didn't pick up on that until way later.
Right. And that's just the thing about it. Like, the comic was written to only be told as comics. Alan Moore was super against any merchandise for it or anything like that, and the movie just came and, like, kind of shit all over his legacy, which it sucks. But, you know, at the same time, like, being an Alan Moore fan, I should be opposed to the show too, because I haven't read any of the other comics. I don't care about Before Watchmen or Doomsday Clock. That's all just stuff to make it, hey, we're going to make Watchmen part of the DC universe now. I'm like, no, the point is that it's not. It's a self-contained thing. But anyway, the reason why I'm giving the show a pass is because A, it's a sequel of the comic and not the movie, and B, it so far has carried on the same spirit. And so I can, you know, and it doesn't sully what the comic was.
Mm-hmm.
So even if the show fails, it's its own thing. And I can accept it as its own thing. But if something's going to come along and like change people's perception of this thing that I love, which is the comic, I'm going to get a little upset about it. Mm-hmm. But to me, the show is able to exist on its own without doing that. So it's kind of me bringing it all back together and getting us back on topic of the show, I guess.
Do you think somebody could watch the show without having been a fan of the comics or even being aware of it, really?
Lindelof says that, but so far I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, because, I mean, it would just kind of be a show that's happening. And especially bringing in stuff, like, I could see it if it was more of a sequel to the movie, maybe, because that's a little more grounded in reality. But when you bring in stuff like Raining Squid and then talking about Dr. Manhattan and different things, it almost seems like you have to have the pre-knowledge to do anything with that. Be like, wait, so there's a blue naked guy on Mars?
Right.
Like, why is it Raining Squid again?
Well, the show has done so much to set up its own sort of like several sets of mysteries that they, you know, they're not even answering the questions that it's raising, much less, you know, filling everybody in on what happened last time with the comic sort of thing. So it's like, I mean, and I get that to a degree, and I kind of like that to agree, because it's going to hopefully make more people want to go out and read this great piece of literature that exists. But it's like they say, like, no, this exists independently of the comic. And, you know, I mean, I was just going on about how I feel that way about it. But at the same time, like, yeah, you probably still need to have some bit of reference. You know, the movie could do it. The movie could give you a good, you know, at least something to go on. But there's so many specific things they're talking about that weren't in the movie that I think everybody should read the comic.
Sure.
Especially like if you're having trouble keeping up. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that might answer a bunch of your questions, and it might, you know, I mean, also, like, I mean, the comic's good. We know the comic's good. The show is still, jury's still out, because we still have 6 more episodes to go.
I'm loving it thus far, though, and I love the mystery aspect. It's very Lost-esque.
Oh, yeah, and like a lot like Leftovers, too, which Leftovers is the worrying thing. Because that was another Lindelof show where they didn't explain. There was weird, random stuff that happened all throughout that show that they never even tried to explain. So I'm just like, I hope that's not where they're going with this. Where they're going to set up a lot of mythology that they never address. Which Lost also kind of did that too.
Yeah. Watching Lost. Part of the problem there is I was like, okay, he's not explained this because they just had to like draw this out for a minute because they couldn't get a contract for an end of the show signed, and then the writer's strike happened and all that. So I get it. But yeah, I'm with you. I hope they're not just doing that same shit here.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing about the comic is it was dense because it was filling in a lot of those gaps of the world. They didn't leave a lot hanging. Like, by the end of it, if you went back and, like I said, every time I reread it, I find new stuff, and it's all stuff that ties it all up in a more neat, complete bow. Mm-hmm. And that's my worry with this is that it's not going to be. But I do know that they said that, like, so there's a couple things that they've put out. They did say they to all press, nobody's done it because why would you? But they said, before you put out a review for this, watch the first 6 episodes. So we're halfway through that. So there's 3 more episodes that I think are going to bring it all in, which is what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
But also, they're writing this as a complete story. So they haven't said whether there will be a season 2 or not, but if there's not, this will have its own end.
Sweet.
So that gives me some hope, and it makes me more invested in it.
Yeah.
And makes it feel more worth my time, mm-hmm, to know that, like, okay, they're promising a payoff. So
one being a weird episode count, like 9, makes me think like it makes me feel like the ending is very purposeful.
Right.
Like they're not trying to stretch it out or shorten it. It's like, no, we did 9. Like that's kind of what it just came out to be.
Well, I don't know what their writing process is, but one of the oldest tricks I've ever heard is any good story, you have to start with the end first, mm-hmm, and then work your way backwards.
Yeah.
And especially if you're doing a mystery, you have to know, you can't just write a book that someone got killed, who done it? Well, we'll figure it out as we go. Yeah. Like you have to know who did it and then work your way backwards to mm-hmm, where, you know, back to the point where no one knows.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I don't know. I'm making a lot of hand gestures. I realize that doesn't
Yeah, that doesn't translate well.
No, but yeah, I think there will be a good payoff. We gotta be patient for it.
No, I'm with you right there. I'm very excited about it, and yeah, I'm liking it thus far. I do think there'll be a payoff, and I don't know if they're able to suck me in for 6 episodes and not give me anything until episode 6, and then just drop it. Good on them. Because I'm into it right now.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like it gives me the same kind of vibes definitely Lost, and then very much like the comic where it's like every panel there's more stuff. So
yeah.
I'm sure when I go back and rewatch this, I'm going to be like, okay, there's the thing in this shot that I missed, and there's the. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully it's good and doesn't, you know, ruin this thing that I love.
Mm. What do you think's up with that falling car at the end?
Oh man, well they definitely want you to think it's Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah.
Because it's assuming that it really is Dr. Manhattan on Mars and it's not some other thing, which that's the weird thing about this show. Like I'm always second guessing all of my guesses. Like they're telling you that Dr. Manhattan is on Mars, which means that maybe he's not. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the government telling you that.
Well, the obvious thing of them being like, yeah, Dr. Manhattan can look like a person. No, he can't do that.
Yeah, they were real weirdly sure of what the limitations of his powers were.
Well, and everything we saw when we did see him, like in the movie or the comic, is he got better at his shit.
Yeah, he seemed
better
like
and better.
He seemed like a god.
Yeah,
and it's hard for me to put limits on what a god can do. So, yeah,
changing his color to tan. That doesn't seem like it'd be that difficult.
I mean, he was able to darken his blue. That happened in both the movie and the comic. So it's why couldn't he do anything else he wanted?
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe that's just a sign of like the almost sort of religious, denial that these people are in because, you know, the existential threat of a godlike being that actually exists, that we know exists, is probably massive. So just to cope with that, you probably have to set limits on yourself. You probably have
for sure. Like if you knew that there was a being like that that went off to Mars.
Well, that's why I question the Mars thing, is because what if he didn't? What if he vanished and we have no clue where he's at?
Yeah.
But the government knows that if we know that he's just out there somewhere, people will freak out. So we have to show this boring footage of him building and destroying castles on Mars. So that way people feel a little better about it. They feel like he's just right there. We know he's there. We know he's not plotting anything. He doesn't seem like it's any, seems like he, so it makes me feel like maybe this is a, you know, an old switcheroo, but
I did not think of that, but that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
But again, that's the nature, like it's second guessing all the things that they're kind of like hinting at, like whether the, you know, whether Will is Hooded Justice, maybe he is. I mean, they seem to want us to think he is.
Yeah.
Which makes me think that maybe he's not, you know?
The timeline matches up there perfectly, though.
Yeah, I mean, it probably is. Yeah. It's probably just the internet got real good.
Yeah.
It just was like, oh, we're going to figure this out for you. And then they're like, well, it's already written, so we're not going to change it. I hope they don't. I feel like any time that happens where, like, the internet guesses a story thing, and then they go in and change it so that the internet's wrong.
Or they don't change it. They just lie, like fucking J.J. Abrams and Khan. No, Benedict Cumberbatch isn't Khan.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Just a liar. Yeah.
I didn't know that happened.
Yeah, he was asked, like, point blank, and he was like, nah, he's not playing Khan.
Well, he sure did.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's hard for me to keep straight what I think is an actual legitimate theory and what's just a psych out.
Yeah, and like we've said, I mean, there's nothing definitive right now other than just like, we're watching it. Okay. Mysteries.
Right.
Yeah.
Three episodes in and we have, like, no answers about anything. And the plot feels like it's moving at a snail's pace. So that's where any like doubt that I'm having is coming from. It's like, I mean, you guys are really, really building this up. So I hope there's a good payoff.
But again, that's what the comic did. That's why it was hard for me to get into at the beginning. Is I was like, okay, what is happening here? This is like, okay.
Right. But it's that's why it's worth rereading. Yeah. Because it's you go back. Once you know what's going on.
Yeah.
You go back and you're like, okay. Mm-hmm.
No, it's solid, though. But I'm going to try to wrap this thing up here. I was trying to keep it to about 40 minutes.
Well, I think we got a good summary. I mean, it was hard to summarize that episode. That was a weird one.
Yeah, that was a very weird one to come into to record one of these on. But I don't know. It was good that we had the first two.
Right. I said this to you in private before we started doing this, that, like, with this kind of show, it's almost better to give it some time to pick apart. So I think it's cool to get our immediate thoughts, and then maybe next week we can go into more in depth about it and then talk about the one we just watched.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's just my thought, you know. But
yeah, I 100% agree with you. Is this something that needs to marinate for a minute and, like, stew on it, and then I'll have some thoughts over coffee in the morning. It's like, oh, fuck, yeah.
Yeah, I think a week will be enough time to digest it.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah. Come back next week. We'll be putting out two episodes of the podcast as long as this show's going on. And then I may do the same thing with The Mandalorian. I'm not entirely sure. I'm still pondering that. But, yeah, as always, get on down to Riverside Wine and Spirits and go check us out on the Hopped Up Network at thehoppedupnetwork.com and at brewchat.com. That's brewchat with two T's, brewchat.com. And then on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, you name it, we're there, people. Go check it out. And then do you have any shows or anything coming up, Ian?
I'm doing, this will come out like tomorrow, right? Or,
tomorrow or Tuesday.
Okay, cool. Yeah. On, this coming Saturday then, I'm appearing as Superman at the spot on Brainerd Road. We're doing the roast of Shaq and I'm going to be there as Superman. It's a character roast. It'll be a lot of fun.
Hell yeah. That's that. Where was that?
The spot on Brainerd Road. It's, I think it's where the old Comedy Catch used to be.
Oh, okay. Okay, a new spot.
Yep. Yeah.
Cool. Well, guys, thanks for tuning in. This has been episode 215A, Watchmen episodes 1 through 3. So, hit us up, go check us out, and we'll see you guys next time.